everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I hope that you're all staying safe and healthy. Today, it's all about being counted. We're joined by M.T. Boyle, who serves Racine County as Senior Manager for Special Projects, and Catherine Marks, who serves the City of Kenosha in the Office of Community Outreach. Beyond those duties, these women are leading an important challenge in southeastern Wisconsin, and that is to get everyone counted. M.T. and Catherine are chairs of the Complete Census Committee for their respective communities. We'll start in Racine with M.T. M.T., welcome back to Parkside Today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, John. This is a pretty surreal time that we're in our houses and chatting about being counted and how important it is.
It is a weird one to do to be doing the Parkside Today recordings from my, as I'll call it, the lower level of my office complex, otherwise known as the basement of the house, but we'll call it the lower level. When did you first find out that you would have to count everyone in Racine County?
So that's interesting. It was last summer we got approached by the U.S. Census Bureau, who asked Racine County to form a complete count committee. Uh-huh. Jonathan Delagrave, the county executive, appointed me as chair and said, please, get this organization together. So starting in the fall, we've started appointing our partners, including our nonprofits, volunteers. The city of Racine has been key. In fact, we kind of call each other co-chairs, which means Vicki Self in the city. We are working with our faith-based organizations. All our municipalities are on board. So that's when we formed, and we did trainings, and we had our kickoff meeting right around the first of the year. And ever since then, we have been working really hard to educate and motivate everybody, all the residents of Racine County, to be counted.
Sure.
As you know, John, it's super important.
Yeah, it is. And the WebEx cut out there just a little bit. Who are you working with the city of Racine?
It's with Vicki Selko.
Vicki Selko. Okay.
With the city. And so she and I have been partnering on this because in the city of Racine, probably the same as Kenosha, that is one of the populations that's hardest to count. There's barriers. There's trust issues with the government. There are lack of access to the internet because right now it's, what's different from 2010 to 2020 is that the first push was online. So because we are in a pandemic, it's very easy to answer the census right from your home if you have access to a computer or a cell phone. Otherwise, I can tell you that you can also call in. And just last week, all the paper questionnaires went out. So people that need to do answer by paper,
You started, I was kind of going to go into that with my next question, some of the challenges, and you've touched on some of those, and certainly I would say being on the committee both in Kenosha and Racine, and later we're going to be talking with Catherine Marks, one of the challenges right now seems to be just the fact that people's attention is all on the COVID pandemic, as would expect it to be, which makes it harder, I think, right, to get to create and continue that awareness for the census.
Absolutely. When people are concerned about their jobs or their income or their children who are now at home being, homeschooled and virtually schooled, it is really hard to realize that the census is important. However, what the Racine County Complete Count Committee is constantly trying to get the message out is that this is probably single most important activity you can do, because everything for the next 10 years is based on how many people are counted. So all the federal funds, the COVID funds that are coming into our communities are all based on census data. We actually have figured out that in Wisconsin, every person counted equals $1,600 of federal funding for the next 10 years.
Wow.
And then let's talk about political representation. All of that is also based on the census. So next spring, when all of this is, it's gone to the president, it's got, the box is checkmarked that the census is done, then that information comes back to our county, and then we have to talk about redistricting. So it's all your political representation too.
Right.
It's super important.
Right, right. We're talking with M.T. Boyle, chair of the Complete Census Committee in Racine and senior manager of special projects for Racine County. M.T., tell us about, there are success stories out there, I know that, and share some of those with us, please.
So just like everybody in the world, we pivoted from having some events that we were going to do in person, you know, some countywide fun event, having, you know, balloons and people gathering and food and like cookouts. We ended up moving all of that, like everyone else, to online. So I can just, I'll point out a few fun activities that we've done. And just this past week, we had a contest where we made available over $1,000 in gift cards and motivated people to take the census and enter this contest. We did actually, about 100 people that entered the contest, but even more than that, we did see an uptick in especially our hard-to-count population.
Great.
We had some people that got in their cars and they did one of those, it's like a census parade through the lowest counted census tracts, just to have people understand, you know, have you taken the census? Do you know what the census is? And that is also was really fun. We've had yard signs put out. We've had flyers. We've had posters. So right now, I can tell you, Racine County is doing well. Mm-hmm. We are at a total of 68.8% counted. Wisconsin's at 64.8% counted. I think we're probably like 2 or 3 in the nation right now.
Great.
So we're doing a good job, especially in the west side, or where people feel, you know, that their barriers to taking the census are less.
Yeah.
But we're really focused on the city right now to make sure that people understand that knowing that people are struggling and they're worried about the future and they're worried about their employment and they're worried about their families, we're still hoping that they take that 10 minutes and just consider being counted, because it makes a difference.
Right, right. Yeah, and it seemed like the I filled the census out online when that came, definitely over a month ago. I think I did that kind of mid-March. And it certainly is not a time-consuming process or a difficult process. It seemed, you know, pretty straightforward, pretty easy to do. You mentioned the census parade. How did that get organized?
So the county committee, we have a lot of different community partners. Mm-hmm. So this organization called 9to5 is definitely on board with helping get the word out about the census. So we had our Racine County outreach person as part of it, and then organizer from 9to5. And then we also had the YMCA involved. Mm. Been fantastic about getting information out through their food giveaways. We are constantly sending out information through any way that we possibly can at this point, just to get people aware of how important it is. Mm-hmm. If I can, I'd just like to point out, it is easy to take the census, and I do want to tell people what is on it. Because sometimes I think there's a worry or that somehow this your information is compromised or shared. So I just want to say that, one, the census is very easy. It's basically who lives in your house most of the time, including extended family, relatives, even people that are not related to you. But then, you know, if you care for a family friend that is a member of your household, you count them. Yeah. Also are asked the nationality of everybody that lives in your house. You are not asked for your status, for your immigration status.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think, John, is that it? I can't remember because I took mine so long ago, too. Wasn't very many questions. Just who's living there, what nationality you are, where your address is. It takes about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought, but yes.
I was surprised. I was trying to remember back from back to 2010 and the process, and I really can't. But that was 10 years ago. I mean, my gosh. Uh, but certainly.
I can't remember 10 days ago anymore.
Yeah. What day is it today?
I have no idea.
You know, this is going to get off the track a little bit. We'll get back to census, but this work from home thing, I don't know what day it is anymore.
It is unbelievable. Like, I have to tell you that today, I feel the same way. Like, I'm putting on the same clothes I wear every day, just in a different color. You know, I think, is it my day to shower or not shower? Like, to see anyone today? Am I not going to see anyone today?
Yeah.
And, you know, like we kind of talked about, working from home is that, you know, it's a very unreal, surreal kind of feeling.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now back to the census. Yeah,
okay.
Back to the census. Have you talked to any of the census officials about when, you know, when they get some of the folks who are then going to actually go out into the field, and whether they're doing whether they're confirming counts or they're checking on areas where maybe they sent something and hadn't received that? Do they have an idea of how they're dealing with the with the pandemic issues and being able to get out and get the information that they need?
Yes. So I can't speak for the Census Bureau just because I am not an employee of the U.S. Census Bureau, but I am in close contact.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the information I can share is, one, they're in lockdown like all of us.
Yeah.
However, they know that there is going to be a time that they're going to be able to go out into the field. They're actually still hiring. So if you're looking for a very well-paying job,
mm-hmm.
They are still actively looking for enumerators, staff people that are in offices. So they don't have a settled date, but what I can share with you is, so for example, April 1st was supposed to be census day.
Right.
Well, now we're in May. So they were going to be wrapping up the census in August. Now they're saying that people will be still able to respond to the census through October 31st.
Oh, okay.
But they're already planning on extending all their in-person efforts as soon as they get out into the field. And I do think that's going to help a lot, especially with those barriers where people are, you know, maybe not have the access to the online, or they don't have, you know, high-speed internet, or they, you know, they don't have a smartphone. So,
right. Yeah, it's interesting that there are more opportunities because of the technology that's available, different than just here comes the piece of mail, fill it out with the pen, put it in the envelope, out it goes. That there's other ways to complete the census and do that. And you mentioned the fact that they were still interested in hiring people for the census. If someone is interested in that, how do they find that information?
Oh, that's a great question. It's on the Census Bureau's website. I think it's census.gov/jobs.
Oh, okay. But if somebody searched online for the census and census.gov/jobs.
And I have gotten feedback that it does take a while for them to get back to you, but keep in there, keep checking. My daughter, who's in college right now, and like many of the college students probably at UW Parkside and others, she had some great internships lined up, and her summer plans, just like so many families and so many people, they crumbled. She went out, and while she's searching to fill her where she's finding jobs. So she's going to be working at Amazon, and she's going to be maybe working for the census. So it's a good opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, MT, first off, thank you for taking the time away from what I know is anyone who's in the public sector and government these days has all they can handle as far as the different work responsibilities and questions that need to be answered and such. So I appreciate the time. Thanks for your efforts to get everyone in Racine County counted for the census. That is important, as you mentioned, whether it be for federal funding or for the amount of representation we get at the federal level, that's very important. So I appreciate your time. We've been talking with MT Boyle, who serves Racine County and also is chairman of the Complete Count Committee for Racine County. MT, I hope you stay healthy and safe and have a good rest of your day.
Hey, John, thanks so much for having me, and right back at you.
Next, we'll talk with Catherine Marks, who serves the City of Kenosha in the Office of Community Outreach. Catherine, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
When did you first find out that you would have to count everyone in Kenosha County?
On my radar, it was May of 2019. But prior to me, Franca Carls was overseeing the project for, this initiative. And I believe that started in the fall of 2017.
Yeah, the Kenosha has certainly began the process rather early to get geared up for it, haven't they?
Yes. And I took it over once Franca left the City of Kenosha. The mayor asked me to take the lead on leading the charge for the 2020 census for City of Kenosha.
Sure. And talk to us about certainly the timing, the COVID pandemic, and the fact that has everyone's attention and rightfully so, but has so much attention, which is probably taken away from people maybe being concerned or being aware of the census responsibilities. What have been some of the challenges that you've seen in your role?
Well, I think first of all, the challenges is that how will we continue on with the promotion and heightened awareness of the 2020 census and the importance of it, because we've had to kind of put a halt to some of the promotional things that we were going to do. That's number one. Then number two is that what is done with the overall operational of the 2020 census, getting those census takers out there into the communities early, and they were supposed to start that like March 12th through July 31st, and that has now been, changed and adjusted to March 12th through October 31st. Mm-hmm. But really, a lot of those census takers will not be going into the communities until about June. So it's delayed census takers going out there for those people who have not responded by the online, by the phone, or even the manual questionnaire. And so a lot of people now, in lieu of going out right now, they are sending more postcards, reminder postcards, to those addresses, or they are now actually sending the questionnaires and hope that in the month of May, a lot of people will actually complete those. Mm-hmm. So we have tried other methods too, and we'll continue to do that, because now the actual date has been changed to October 31st instead of July 31st to kind of have your census completed.
Sure.
So we're going to remind people that, but still try to get them to do it earlier than later. I want to let everybody know that Wisconsin is number two in the nation in regards to states with the highest response rate. Minnesota is number one. Originally, Wisconsin was, but now we're in the number two position. So we want to get back to our number one position as quickly as possible.
Those darn people in Minnesota.
Yeah. Those are just some of the challenges. We're not able to connect with people one-on-one like we had intended to do.
Sure.
Because of the social distance.
Right. Talk to us about some of the initiatives, the things that the Kenosha Committee has done to, to make people aware of the census and increase that participation.
Well, I think one of the things is too that my committee, a great committee, including John, you're one of the members, and Tim,
your
staff. Yes, you've done a fantastic job. I know you're serving in both communities, so thank you so much for your service. But
sure.
I think one of the things that I really like about our group is that earlier on, after I started, we divide up into subgroups, which include government, education, which is one of the what you lead for me, that subcommittee, faith-based groups and nonprofits, and we have hard to reach, we have businesses and youth, neighborhood and community, and those hard to count, as I said. And so I think that's really one of the big things that we did, because then we could focus our efforts, our committee members, on certain sectors, particularly what they had some expertise with. I said, first of all, those subgroups are huge. And then, like I said, our marketing and media efforts have been, well, one of the things is we have done radio interviews, not with you, and I've done it on WLIP, Kenosha News articles. Joe Batente from the Kenosha County staff actually interviewed all of our co-chairs, and we are taking those interviews and doing the and converting it to written interviews, and they've been featured in Kenosha News over a series of weeks. And now we're beginning to take those videos and actually promoting them on Facebook. So those are all great. We've distributed flyers. One of the ways we had to adjust, there's a number of meal programs that the KUSD has partnered with a number of organizations in the community, and they're still distributing lunches to some of the to the students in some areas. So we utilize that as a way to actually give out flyers and reminders about the 2020 census. And so that's working and going well. And so because what I did was created a flyer to talk about the school lunch and breakfast programs. Those are, they receive, the school district received funding from the federal government based upon census data and the information. So I've connected the dots, helping people to understand this food program that you're actually taking advantage of on that particular day was part of funding that was derived from the 2020 census, I mean 2010 census at the time. So connecting the dots, utilizing Facebook, and some of our community partners who have Facebook, UW Parkside, our police department, our library system, and our museum, getting out things via using social media to get the word out. And we've done promotions in the, on the buses, we've had billboards, and we had table tents ready to go, similar to what they use for the restaurant week that we were putting out in restaurants, but then it, at the timing of our that rollout, everything shut down. So those are just a few of the things that we're, and then we're thinking about even more as we move forward and having it, you know, adhere to the social distancing and the safer at home. So we're coming up with newer ideas. What else can we do? So we're excited.
No, I remember thinking when I first got involved in the committee, my first reaction was, well, there's a whole lot of time between now and the time the census comes around. And it's amazing how fast the time goes. And also that if you're not, and the work that you've done to keep people on task and to keep people focused on it, without that kind of leadership, the initiative wouldn't be as successful. So so my congratulations and thanks to you for your good work. But it, it does take a great deal of planning and coordination to put a program like this together, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It does. I just want to say, too, because, John, I don't want to forget to acknowledge the role that you have played in guiding our education subcommittee, which not only included UW Parkside and Carthage College and Gateway Technical College, it included KUSD. And I don't forget to say that KUSD also has distributed over 33,000 flyers for us to elementary, to over 11,000 elementary school students. Three different flyers have gone home to 11,000 elementary school students to help with the promotion of the school, help the promotion of the census. And we actually have a youth, some high schoolers from Indian Trail, Bradford, I believe, and Tremper, who helped us with helping to promote statistics in school. That's a product that was created by the 2020 census team or the census bureau to really help our educators help to promote at our younger age, the help to teach these kids about the importance of the census, how it came about, and why they should encourage their parents to complete the census. So that whole education group, you guys had a huge undertaking. So thank you and your team for all you've done.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, when you and I went and spoke with the folks at KUSD, and it, it gives you a different perspective on the fact that, you know, there's a number of people or organizations that would look at KUSD and say, oh, here's a place where we could get information out into the families, and that they could be doing nothing but sending flyers home with kids. And that was interesting to get that perspective from them. But certainly they've stepped up in helping to create awareness for the importance of the census.
Yes. And so, you know what, John, and I think that it's important too, and I just wanted to give you a little bit of statistics as why even it's important to our colleges and our universities and even for KUSD, but just based upon the 2010 census data, every year we get billions of dollars back to our state and all the states across the United States. But based upon the 2010 census and the fiscal year, Wisconsin in 2016 received over $12 billion back to our state based upon that 2010 census. And the majority of that, $4.6 million, went for Medicaid, but $1.4 billion went to federal direct student loans, which really impacts our college students. And the Pell Grant got about $356 million.
Wow.
That's just an example.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, and so college students do can fully take advantage of the funding that's coming back, but you got to be counted so your colleges and universities can get, have even access to more federal dollars.
Right, right.
So yeah, it's really important.
Yeah. What, talk to me a little bit about some of the reasons that people might be cautious or reluctant to participate in the census.
Some reasons, well, a lot of reasons people are reluctant because they are not, they don't know what the questions are on the census. And so what we did on Kenosha, on this Kenosha's website, kenosha.org, under 2020 census, we actually have a copy of the actual questionnaire. Basically, it's just asking, how many people live in your house as of April 1st? Mm-hmm. You know, is this a house apartment? Is it a mobile house? What is your phone number? And then it'll ask you for person number one in the household, what's that person's first name, last name? What's their sex? How old? What's their birth date? And are they of Hispanic or Latino or Spanish origin? And what's their race? And pretty much, John, that's it. Person number one, main person in the household. And then it goes on until persons are from two to six. And then after that, it gets very basic for persons 7 through 10.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but that's all. A lot of people are reluctant to think they're asking about income and a whole bunch of other information. That is through the American Community Survey. That's more extensive. It is randomly done over between the census from 2010 to 2020. There's other types of data that's collected from other community surveys, but this particular one does not ask anything about income. It doesn't ask you about if you are an immigrant or anything. And I think the lack of knowledge of not knowing what's on the questionnaire has been fearful for people. And because there's always scams out there and people want to make sure that it's actually the U.S. Census. And so that's why you need to know, you need to get a either official questionnaire or you can call the Census Bureau direct by, you should have gotten an invite letter. It has the phone numbers on there. Or you can just go to 2020 Census Bureau online using your smartphone, and you can also complete it that way. So by phone, online, or the actual questionnaire by mail.
Right, right. We're talking with Catherine Marks of the City of Kenosha, who is chairing the Complete Count Committee in Kenosha. Catherine, you've kind of touched on some things already. You talked about some of the federal funding coming into the community based on the census, based on being counted. What are some of the other things that that the census determines? I know it gets into even our representation in the government, correct?
Yes, it does. Oh, before we go to that, John, I also wanted to tell you, one of the biggest concerns was immigration and the confidentiality. That's another fear. But it is against law for this information that's used for the census for it to be used for any other purpose other than for the count of the population in the United States. And so that's another one that people, and so we have a lot of information to share with folks about the confidentiality and how it can't be used against them.
Yeah.
So you asked, what's the reason, how are some of the census used? Well, it is about fair representation. So our House of Representatives, that is based, the number that we get for our state is based upon our population. So that's why one of the main reasons why we want to make sure that we get counted. So we have as many House of Representatives you know what I mean,
yeah,
representing us possible.
Yeah.
Then there's about the federal funding. Over $675 billion go back to our community, our state, over the course of those 10 years. And then annually, they receive money back based upon those dollars. And a lot of the programs that a lot of people take advantage of, Medicare and Medicaid,
mm-hmm.
School lunch program, Section 8, you got for housing assistance. You got a lot of those types of things. And it's about redistricting. Once we are done with the 2020 census, everything goes is submitted to the President of the United States. And then when it goes back to the states, they have to begin to redistrict their communities based upon this census data. So it's used for that. Yeah. A lot of the data is used by our business community to determine whether or not they're going to be building more businesses or building more factories, building offices. Our schools use it to determine school populations and how they need to grow. Local governments use it for infrastructure information and public safety. Do we need to build more hospitals? Real estate developers use it to determine, should we be building new homes and revitalize our neighborhood? So this data is used immensely for a lot of different things that impact our community every single day.
Right, right. So the bottom line is filling out the census is important. So when you get the forms, you should fill them out.
Right. They're quick. They're easy. Once again, I'll reiterate, online. You can do it online. And say, for instance, you don't have your census ID number, and you can't find that little postcard. You can't find the invite letter. You can just go to 2020census.gov, and mm-hmm. you can say, respond. And you can actually do it online using your tablet, your computer, or your smartphone. It's that simple. Or you can call the number, or you can actually complete the questionnaire. So there's three ways that you can do it.
Right, right. Well, Catherine, first off, thanks for taking the time today to talk with us about the census. It's an important topic and certainly impacts our lives, not just this year, but because the next one doesn't roll around until 2030. It impacts the communities for a decade. So very important to participate, and appreciate your time. We've been talking about the census with Catherine Marks, who serves the City of Kenosha in the Office of Community Outreach. And we also spoke with M.T. Boyle, who serves Racine County as Senior Manager for Special Projects. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.